Welcome students for this session on managerial economics. As students, you have already understood what economics is about. Now we move on to the first chapter of managerial economics, which is meaning, scope and methods of managerial economics. So let's first understand the definition of managerial economics. Managerial economics is application of economic theory to managerial practice. This is the first definition. Application of economic theory to managerial practice. It means in the day-to-day management level, what type of economic concepts automatically gets applied for a business firm. The second definition says it is an integration, union of two different subjects, economic theory with business practice. But for the purpose of decision making and forward planning. Now students, in the second definition, the last two sentences, decision making and forward planning, are very important. Here, the two main functions of a business manager are highlighted. One, making decisions. What type of decisions does a business manager undertakes? What to produce? How much quantity of output to produce? Quality control? Cost cutting? Transfer of a certain group of employees from one department to the other, etc., etc. So there are n number of decisions which a business manager has to undertake on a per day level, day to day level, and in the long run. But once the decisions are made, the very next step is forward planning. Executing plans for the future, plans of production, profit, recruitment, sales, etc. So, in managerial economics, we want to narrow down the gap that exists between the theory of economics and the field of business. How much can this gap be narrowed down so that the students of economics and the students of management can really make use of the benefit of these two subjects for their day-to-day life? So we say that managerial economics is application of economic theory and methodology to business administration and practice. These three definitions focused on economics as a body of knowledge which can be used for making decisions and executing the plans for the business managers. In fact, the subject of managerial economics is correlating the subject of economics to the field of management. Let's understand it further. Features. As you go through the features of managerial economics, you will find the concept of economics and management becoming very clear. Here you can see that there are four features highlighted of managerial economics. We will understand each feature one at a time in the further slides. The very first feature, as you see, microeconomics oriented. Economics as a subject gets divided into two categories, micro and macro. Microeconomics purely deals with individual unit. Behavior of particular firms, particular consumer, particular product. Today, if you want to buy a mobile of Nokia, you will be interested in a particular model of Nokia and the features that the product is offering you before deciding on should you buy or should you look for other competing brands in the market. So when you decide that you want to buy Nokia with a particular feature, you make your decision to buy a particular model, whether it's E series, N series or whichever new versions are entering in the market. This is a microeconomic approach specific to one consumer, one product, price of that particular model and the features related to that particular model. Similarly, in managerial economics, most of our topics are revolving around the study of business firm as a single unit. And therefore, lot of focus is given on topics related to demand, supply, profit, cost, production, which are revolving around the study of business firm. So, microeconomics is purely an individualistic study. Whereas macro deals with the study of economy as a whole. The entire economy, the aggregate picture. The terms that come in macroeconomics very popularly are national income, trade cycles. You might have heard of this. The recession in USA and how that global crisis is affecting all the different countries in different manner. That's a study of macroeconomics. What happens if the inflation rate crosses a double digit number? What happens if tomorrow the exim policy by the government changes? What if the GDP starts falling? Well, these are the areas of interest of only macroeconomics. So when a student wants to understand about the labor problems, unemployment problems, the way the economy is moving, they have to study the macroeconomic picture of that specific country. So macro deals with aggregate, micro deals with individual. As we have discussed, that micro is purely a individual economic study, behavior of individual firms. Now students, individual can be anything. It can be one person, one producer, one company, one unit, about which we try to study in depth. So, microeconomics is purely an in-depth study. It has been found that there is a very close analysis of the study of business firm, behavior of managers at a decision-making level. And therefore, microeconomics is more popular in managerial economics, making managerial economics maximum a microeconomic oriented subject, because in managerial economics we want to study about a individual manager, a individual company, a individual product, specific price and related effects. And therefore the very first feature is that managerial economics is microeconomic oriented. Let's move to the next feature. Here you see that the approach used for understanding the subject of managerial economics is normative approach. To understand what normative approach is, let us begin with the two approaches of economics. Economics is a science. And whenever you study any practical subject, there are two ways of looking at the subject. Positive approach, where we are concerned with the situation as it is. We just look at the situation as it exists. The newspaper. You open the newspaper and you read the headlines. Positive approach. Inflation rate has exceeded so much percent mark. The dollar value has depreciated by so much amount. Reserve Bank of India decides to cut the CRR rate by so much percent, etc. Whatever news headlines we read is a positive approach, looking at the situation the way it exists. The next approach is normative. If there is a problem, what should be done? What should be the possible solutions? Yes, the normative approach is a solution-based approach to a problem. How do you look at a problem and think of alternative ways of solving that problem is a normative approach. So at management level, if there is a problem in a particular plant, like the most recent and current problem coming up is the strike by the workers at a Maruti plant, Manesa. Now here, stop of work is a loss to the company. But what are the decisions that the company is coming up with? Removing those 500 employees and setting up the restarting the plant in a couple of days. This is a normative approach. Similarly, whenever we study about inflation and we ask, what is the government doing? What is the finance minister deciding? What is he thinking about? Are, why can't the RBI do something of bringing down inflation? When we ask these questions, what are we expecting? A normative approach. That all these concerned authorities should look at solutions to solve the problems. Well, in managerial economics, we want to understand how economic theories, economic laws, economic ideas can be fruitfully used for understanding a given situation of a business firm. So, normative approach has been found to be more popular in managerial economics. And we would say that managerial economics is not only to describe, but also to prescribe. So, whatever economics you all might have studied at undergraduate level from commerce field, now you have to prescribe. You have to use those theories for practical application. Then it becomes a normative approach of using the subject. This is what managerial economics is about. Because students always ask me, what's the difference between economics and managerial economics? We have studied this economics in 12th, in first year BCom. What's the point of studying it now at management level? It's important for you that when you are becoming managers of tomorrow, you are assigned positions in your companies further ahead, how do you take decisions? Is there any economic methodology, any economic law which indirectly gets applied? That's what we have to understand. This is what makes you look at the subject with a normative approach. We go to the next feature. Only a part of science of economics. I want you to focus here, students. You can see that there are various topics like welfare, money, agriculture, international trade, public finance, etc. These are all various specializations of economics. When a student wants to understand about the foreign trade policy, the export-import policy, how duties are imposed, what are the underlying principles behind taxation, etc., etc., there are various specializations like international trade, public finance, etc. But when I want to study about the working of a business firm, the managers, how they make decisions and how they undertake those decisions and execute their plans, the book I need to pick up is Managerial Economics. Because it is only managerial economics which deals with decision taking of managerial cadre. How managers take decisions, what are the underlying principles, is found only in the subject of managerial economics. Today, when you find that the monopoly of Air India has been crashed with lot of other domestic airlines given the license and permit to fly their aircrafts to Saudi Arabia and other countries, economics comes into picture. What are monopoly laws? What is a monopoly? How does an economist look at this situation? So managerial economics tries to give us answer to various decisions of firms that we read in newspapers. We go to the next feature where we say knowledge of macroeconomics is essential. No doubt, we began with the very first feature which said microeconomics oriented. But there's a very famous sentence saying, no firm works in isolation. You cannot work away from everyone. No business manager can make decisions without considering the external factors. Factors which are lying outside the business firm, like competition, government intervention, tariffs, trade and monetary policies, liberalization, and all that keeps on changing with time. Government policies fundamentally keep changing. A budget comes and the entire industrial scenario changes. So, no business manager can afford to ignore the environment lying outside the business firm, over which a manager has very limited control. And therefore, we cannot just ignore the role of managerial economics and macroeconomics. Macroeconomics understanding does become essential. So, this makes us clear that managerial economics is a subject which may be microeconomic dominated, but at the same time, macroeconomics cannot be ignored. Micro deals with individual units and macro deals with aggregates. Whenever we use the term national, total, aggregate with any variables, whether it's output, income, employment, we say it is macroeconomic variable. National income, total employment, aggregate output, general price level, these are all the macroeconomic variables. Because when you try to get information on these variables, you will get a total statistical information on the total employment of a particular country, the total national income generated by India, or USA or any country, etc. When I talk about individual consumer, particular product brand, or the name of a specific company, it becomes a microeconomic concept, microeconomic variable. Managerial economics is having a normative approach, describing. Apart from describing, to further practically imply it. So the gap that exists between the economic theories and the practical business is narrowed down with normative approach. So, managerial economics is a part of the whole science of economics, which is specifically designed for the study of business enterprises. Okay, so let's move ahead now to the scope and subject matter of managerial economics. As I have been telling you, that this is a very specialized subject which revolves around the theory of business form. The study of business enterprises is handled in two ways, financial and physical. In fact, this will throw light on what type of content, what type of concepts, and what type of chapters are there in store for you in the entire course. So let's move ahead to understand the financial aspect and the physical aspect of managerial economics. The physical aspect requires the managers to focus on input-output relationships. In fact, when we look at the physical aspect, we are interested in how does a production department, a material manager, makes its day-to-day choices, which type of material to be selected and which to be rejected, on what grounds the selected material has been approved by the manager, what will be the benefits to the company, how will it bring down the cost, how will it improve the quality. This is how the physical aspect of managerial economics throws light on. So the chapters on production revolve around making you understand on how efficient production techniques are devised with the help of economic production laws. Production chapter throws light on certain aspects of short run and long run production decisions. It focuses on optimization of the resources. A production manager is interested in using and making the best use of available inputs to get maximum desirable output. So that makes the production an efficient production function. The physical aspect also focuses on project planning and capital budgeting. And all this requires a little bit knowledge of mathematical tools. So, when we look at the physical aspects, we find the use of production concepts, project planning, capital budgeting, and various mathematical tools used in business practice. Now we move on to the next, which is the methods. There are various methods which are used in the study of managerial economics. These methods have been found very useful in framing a paper of managerial economics at one level. Second, these methods can definitely be used by you at your end whenever you want to narrow down the gap between what you read in the textbooks and what you see in the business world. Let's see how these methods will be very useful for the students. The very first is scientific method or experimental method. The word itself is very clear. Experiments. Conducting experiments. Very, very useful in pharmaceutical companies. Testing of a drug, devising a new drug. In fact, our entire natural science is full of experiments. Whatever new laws are formulated, new medicines which are formulated and devised, they are all based on n number of tests and n number of experiments. But how can a subject which is a social science subject and dealing with more of human behavior make use of experimental method? Well, here we are going to make use of two methods, inductive and deductive reasoning. Inductive and deductive reasoning is based on the experimental method use, where we observe the behavior of one manager, how that manager makes decision in a given situation, and then we make conclusions that any manager facing a similar situation will make these type of decisions. If unlimited strike by the workers in a particular plant makes the manager come with certain harsh decisions, we come to a conclusion that any other manager who will find himself or herself in a similar kind of situation will definitely make such harsh decisions. In this method, we have to make use of inductive and deductive methods both, where we either take one case study, one business unit, and then on that basis, we try to make our conclusions. I'll give you a very simple example. Profit maximization is the goal of all corporate firms. How do I make a statement? I say that all business firms wants to make maximum profit. I am making a very general statement. It is based on certain reasoning, which is called as deductive. In inductive reasoning, we move from particular to general. We take the case study of one unit, and on that basis, we come to the conclusions. Now, just take an example. If there is one shopping mall which has been very successful in Mumbai years back, we directly come to the conclusion that investment in shopping malls is profitable. So, inductive reasoning is one strong case study, understanding its success and then making the conclusions. Deductive reasoning is n number of experiments which is happening in medical science. New drugs are being experimented and devised for patients suffering from a long-term illness. Now, 2 days back, there was an article in Times of India against the companies and doctors who were using various medicines when they were treating cancer patients. It was found that those medicines which were prescribed to these patients were actually to be on test to see the success and the failure. Now, what is that? That is deductive reasoning. If 10 patients taking a particular treatment and a dose of a particular drug have found to have signs of positive, you can say that curing themselves, then it's a conclusion that all patients in a similar condition can be given this dose. You understand that? So this is how a blend of deductive and inductive reasoning can be continuously used in experimental method. So what you all can do is, you all can visit business firms or you can take a case study and on that basis derive conclusions that in similar situations, how do corporates make decisions? The next method is the statistical method. Economics, business cannot ignore statistics. To talk about sales, to talk about the total output, profit, loss, number of employees, everywhere mathematics emerges. Statistical analysis is more related to forecasting, conducting surveys, and on the basis of those surveys, bringing conclusions. Maximum use of statistical method is found in research. Yes, the R&D department continuously involved with what you call as collecting the data, classifying it, tabulating, comparing, correlating, and finally interpretation. Every research follows these standard steps. So whenever in business the companies are going to make use of any research, they have to undergo these steps of classification, tabulation, comparison, correlation, and interpretation. In fact, whatever results which come are based on these steps. Then the next method is model building. Model building has been found to be very, very useful in construction field. You might have seen companies preparing a model plan of the major project that they have to undertake. And then there will be the expert's opinion, so that if there is any change in the plan, it can be done in the model. We are all aware of construction, engineering, and all technical fields where the various diagrams, drawings, calculations get into picture. That's what model building is about. The next method is the method of intellectual experiment. Intellectual experiment is purely based on people who have long-standing experience in a particular field, and their opinions are used by the company whenever the company wants to make major changes in its policies, programs, investment plans, or any strategy used in the company. So, intellectual experiment is opinion of experts, which are always taken by the company managers, where they hold seminars, workshops, and there is an interaction between the company's managers and the experts. Very, very useful for the company's progress, growth, investments, diversification, and further plans. The next is the method of simulation. Very, very popular with technology. You will find that there is an interconnectivity of all the computers in a bank, in an office. That is a method of simulation. Entry at one end automatically gets updated in all the connected computers. So using technology, making the maximum use of technology, is the method of simulation. Especially very popular in research and demand forecasting. We find that the last method is the descriptive method. It is a method in which we can use any of the above methods. In descriptive method, you are actually going to a visit to a plant to understand its actual working. So we can popularly call it as industrial visits. Moving to a plant, going to the actual market, trying to understand the customer's preferences is known as descriptive method. In fact, students, all these methods can be used in combination. There is no hard and fast rule that if the first method is used, the second cannot be used. So these are all the methods which are being used one at a time. So with that, we have come to the conclusion of this chapter, which focuses on how the study of managerial economics is incomplete without facts, figures of business firms, the coordination of all the various methods with published data, surveys, investigations, and case studies. So, we have successfully completed chapter 1 of managerial economics. Thank you.